I want to remind you of a very, very special event coming soon to a house of worship near you.
We will have Christmas Day service here at 10 o'clock. Now, that's a little change from the last time I mentioned it, but 10 o'clock, Christmas Day, right here. We'll come and welcome the baby Jesus with Christmas carols and prayer and the Word of God and celebrate together with the body of Christ that birth of our Savior who gave so much for us. You know, too often our culture tells us that Christmas Day is a day just for families and football. The culture bias often blinds us to our responsibility to worship God on this second most holy day of the Christian year. Now, I remember when our children were young, they got up well before 6 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, everybody was looking for something to do. The new toys were even now old. And then, as our family grew and our children finally spent Christmas Day at their home, Don and I still slept in some later, but were still looking for something to do about 9. And so, this year, be selfish. Make Christmas Day a day just for families. On football, if that's your like. And Jesus. Come casual, flannel shirts, jeans, or whatever. Young people, bring a toy if that's what it takes. But y'all come Christmas Day and worship God. This Sunday is the Sunday of joy in the Advent procession. For there is a joy, a deep divine joy, that beckons our souls and seeks to break forth, especially at this time of year. So often this great joy can find itself, though, clouded by the complexity and all the activity of the season. Like card sending. The story goes that this unfortunate woman who, in the last minute rush, ran out, bought a box of 50 identical cards without bothering to read the verse, addressed them, sent them on her way. And then several days after mailing, she found the one card that she didn't mail and took time to read the verse now. She was shocked when the verse read, "This card is just to say a special gift is on the way to all 49 of you." So often, this great joy of the season can find itself clouded by the complexity and busyness of our activity. Like the process of getting all the decorations and the tree picked out. And then, of course, there's the gift shopping. I saw a cartoon that showed a weary lady shopper resting for just a moment with her arms filled of packages. She's in the middle of a very busy department store filled with Christmas shoppers and crowding the aisles and waiting in line at the cash registers, not so patiently to pay for their purchases or to get gift wrapping done. The joy of the season can find itself clouded in the complexity and the busyness of our activity. And finally, there are the relational tensions that sometimes rise up at this time of year. I heard one young girl, upon hearing that the first Christmas night story and there being no room in the inn, simply muttered, "It's Joseph's fault. He should have made reservations." And so it is that the mayhem of the activity and the memories of the past can compete with the joy that is at hand. Yet still our souls are stirred by a divine joy that cannot be silenced by time or traditions or troubles. And as that first Christmas unwrapped this great joy, so we need to discover how to unwrap our own joy. Read with me in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. At the heart of this eternal event was good news of great joy. And if we reflect on this first encounter with Christmas, we find the essence of capturing that joy ourselves. First, we need to recognize the need that sent him. What was the need that sent him? What did the angels bring as good news? Well, they said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." A Savior. The shepherds could not miss it, for they were more than simply lowly poor shepherds. Shepherds of that day were despised by the orthodox good people of the day. They were quite unable to keep the details of the faith, the ceremonial law, they could not observe all the meticulous hand-washing and the rest of the rules and regulations. Their flocks made far too constant a demand on them, and so the Orthodox Jewish people looked down on them, might put them in the category of sinners. It was to simple men of the fields that God's message first came, though. They were sinners who had no doubt of their need. No opportunity for self-righteousness. But these were in all likelihood very special shepherds. Consider this thought. We know how in the temple, morning and evening, an unblemished lamb was offered as a sacrifice to God. To see that supply of perfect offerings was always available, the temple authorities had their own private sheep flocks. And these flocks were pastured near Bethlehem. Perhaps these shepherds were in charge of the flocks from which the temple offerings were chosen. They had birthed, raised, and cared for countless lambs taken for constant sacrifice over the years. It's a lovely thought that the shepherds who looked after the temple lambs were the first to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How sober these shepherds must have been to the great cost of sin by the great cost of sacrifice. God had brought the joy of Christmas to those who recognized its need and understood its cost. And clearly such sobriety, such recognition of need would be essential for every recipient of his Son, for all who would encounter him. We all must recognize our need in the Christmas story, for unto us a Savior was born. As the world stops to capture the joy that surrounded this season, what it covers up, our sin and shame, is what it misses, our forgiveness of sins and freedom from shame. To choose the sentiments without the Savior, the cradle without the cross, the child without the Christ, is to miss the first essential key to the joy of Christmas that is beckoning our souls. Heaven is inviting us to join the shepherds in recognizing our need that sent Christ, the Son of God, as a sacrifice for us. Out of such recognition, we can secondly then rejoice in the celebration that surrounds him. The angels declare, "Don't be afraid. This is good news of great joy." It's not a time to retreat in fear, but to rise up in celebration. God releases before them the very reality of heaven. Suddenly a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women on whom his favor rests." There is heaven's great celebration of Christmas, and we're called to join in. For everyone to whom this glorious invasion first came is found raising up in celebration. Mary, though she is found here in quiet reflection, had earlier rejoiced. In fact, she recites an entire song in chapter 1, which begins, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." John the Baptist, when his mother Elizabeth is told by Mary, her cousin, he leaps in the womb. He's ready to celebrate with heaven. And the shepherds did as well. For after finding the child, they are described as glorifying and praising God. So what does that tell us about our own celebrations? Are our traditions a fitting way to experience the joy of Christmas? If our decorations and dressing up compete with Christ, then guess what? They serve us no good. But if they can be a part of celebrating with heaven, then they serve us well. Rather than scorning traditions, let us sanctify them, allowing them to serve heaven in our hearts. The God who commissioned angels to roll back the night and release blazing light as a way of announcement, who set special star in the heavens, who sent a celestial choir to sing before the shepherds, that same God invites us to rejoice in the celebration that surrounds the divine invasion. And so again, I invite you to come Christmas Day and celebrate the birth of our Savior. And finally, as we share in heaven's joy, we can reveal the news that shares him with others. This is good news of great joy for who? For all people. So it is that the shepherds didn't quench the joy with silence or secrecy. They didn't keep it to themselves. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told and what they had seen about this child. And there lies our third key to capturing the joy of Christmas, that as we experience him, we would spread the word. The Greek word used for word is rhema, and it refers to more than the literal word, but the living word. Our experience of discovering Jesus is a living experience that can't be contained. It's alive, and it lives to be expressed. Pastor shared a story about a particular Christmas Eve and the joy that one man found. I had begun a personal tradition on Christmas Eve after the Christmas Eve service, this tradition of making a large amount of hot cider and taking it to all the homeless that I could find on the corners and crevices of town. On this particular cold Christmas Eve, he said, I pulled up along this particular neighborhood, and I began walking down the neighborhood streets. And when I was about a block away from my old VW van, I looked back and I saw the door was open, the light was on, and somebody was in the front. So I turned around and immediately went back, and as I approached, I caught the intruder by surprise. He was going through my glove compartment. And as he leapt out, I discovered that he was a young man, barely 20 years old. He was scared, and he seemed to have a good sense of the consequences of what had just been caught doing in the act. I was rather confrontational at first, the pastor says. The potential for police involvement and his arrest was probably running through both of our minds. And then I simply said, get in the car. You are going to help me deliver hot cider tonight. And this man did. He knew all the hot spots. He knew all the hiding spots. And each time he jumped out of the van and took someone a cup of cider, his face just lit up more and more as he told them that it was from Jesus. And I heard the Lord say, here it is. Here is your Christmas. Christmas is best experienced by being expressed. And so, will we experience the deep divine joy of Christmas? Well, I believe that this room is filled with angels right now. And I believe that they are declaring the joy of heaven on earth. They are declaring a Savior to all who recognize their need. They are calling us to rejoice in heavenly celebration, for that is what surrounds Him. And these angels that are here in this space are joining us in revealing this good news to all people. And so not just for this week or these weeks to Christmas Day and the Christmas season after, go out and share the good news. Unto us a child is born. Amen.